The committee gathers this morning at an extraordinary and perilous moment in our nation's history. The landscape of our nation's economy has been radically reshaped by the United States government over the course of just a few days in a totally ad hoc manner, it would seem. Companies that have formed the foundation of our financial markets are shrinking and disappearing practically overnight. Their insatiable appetite for risk, in many cases, has permeated all sectors of the financial services industry and has spread beyond our shores. It has felled giants like Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers, brought others to their knees like Merrill Lynch, AIG, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac, prompted the largest, I might point out, thrift failure in our nation's history, the Indy Mac Bank, and eliminated the final two independent investment banks, Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. These drastic changes have reverberated far beyond the trading floors and boardrooms of corporate America. Across our great nation, families are gathering around their kitchen tables each night asking how they will weather this storm and how it will affect them very directly. Hundreds of billions of dollars that Americans invested in retirement accounts and mutual funds have evaporated. Homeowners are watching the value of their homes plummet. Foreclosures are forcing 9,800 families from their homes each and every day in our country. Families worry about how they will afford groceries and tax and gasoline. 600,000 Americans have lost their jobs, while millions more have watched their paychecks shrink and their benefits wither away. Perhaps the most dangerous consequence, the one that we don't speak enough about, in my view, of this economic maelstrom is that our collective confidence in our nation's future has been badly shaken, and that needs to be restored. Less than 6 months ago, our banking committee gathered in this very room to listen to the financial leaders of the Bush administration describe what at the time seemed an inconceivable event, the government's $30 billion intervention in the sale of Bear Stearns to J.P. Morgan. Now, after spending hundreds of billions of dollars more to prop up, bail out, and wind down a multitude of institutions, the United States government effectively runs, supports, or outright owns vast swaths of the financial sector. American taxpayers are angry, and they demand to know how we arrived at this moment, and more importantly, right now, how the architects of this economic landscape will put us back on a sound financial footing and restore American confidence and optimism. As I and many members of this committee have argued for the past 17 months since I became chairman of this committee, the root cause of our economic crisis has been the collapse of our housing market, triggered by what Secretary Paulson himself has called bad lending practices. These are practices that no sensible banker should have engaged in, and many did not, I might add. Reckless, careless, and sometimes unscrupulous actors in the mortgage lending industry that allowed loans to be made that they knew hardworking, law-abiding borrowers would not be able to repay. Financial regulators acted much too late and much too timidly. They failed to enforce the laws that Congress passed requiring them to prohibit these bad lending practices. What is tragic and lamentable is that the ensuing calamity was entirely foreseeable and preventable. This was no act of God. It was not like Hurricane Ike. It was created by a combustible combination of private greed and public regulatory neglect. And now we must confront the present crisis. Barely 72 hours ago, Secretary Paulson presented a proposal that he believes, and others do as well, is urgently needed to protect our economy. This proposal is stunning and unprecedented in its scope and lack of detail, I might add. It would allow the Secretary of the Treasury to intervene in our economy by purchasing at least $700 billion of toxic assets. It would allow the Secretary to hold on to those assets for years and to pay millions of dollars to hand-picked firms to manage those assets. It would do nothing, in my view, to help a single family save a home, at least not up front. It would do nothing to stop even a single CEO from dumping billions of dollars of toxic assets on the backs of American taxpayers, while at the same time do nothing to stop the very authors of this calamity to walk away with bonuses and golden parachutes worth millions of dollars. And it would allow this Secretary and his successors to act with utter and absolute impunity without review by any agency or a court of law. After reading this proposal, I can only conclude that it is not just our economy that is at risk, but our Constitution as well. Nevertheless, in our efforts to restore financial security to American families and stability to our markets, this banking committee has a responsibility to examine this proposal carefully and in a timely manner. In my view, any plan to address this crisis must embody three principles. First, American taxpayers must have some assurance that their hard-earned money is being used correctly and responsibly. Second, we must put in place proper oversight so that the executors of this plan are accountable and their actions are transparent. And finally, we must address the root cause of this crisis by putting an end to the rising number of foreclosures sweeping across our nation. In the longer term, it is clear that our current economic circumstances demand that we rethink, reform, and modernize supervision of the financial services industry. Certain basic principles should form the foundation for reform. We need a leader in the White House who will ensure that regulators are strong cops on the beat and do not turn a blind eye to reckless lending practices. We need to remove incentives for regulators to compete against each other for bank and thrift clients by weakening regulation. We need to ensure that all institutions pose a risk to our financial system and taxpayers are carefully and sensibly supervised. And we need to accept the premise that consumer protection and economic growth are not in conflict with one another, but inextricably linked. If we learn nothing else from this crisis, it is that the failure to protect consumers can cause the collapse of our largest financial institutions, the loss of hundreds of thousands of jobs, and the draining of hundreds of billions of dollars of wealth from hardworking Americans. Today, we're very fortunate to be joined, as I said at the outset, by Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, SEC Chairman Chris Cox, and the Director of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, James Lockhart. Regardless of how some may feel about the decisions these leaders have made and the impact they have had, we all ought to be able to agree that these four individuals are good, talented, knowledgeable, and experienced individuals who I think want to do the very best for our country. And I agree as well that we need to move and move quickly if we can, but I feel even more strongly that we need to move carefully and prudently and to make sure that what we do is right. I understand speed is important, but I'm far more interested in whether or not we get this right. There is no second act to this. There is no alternative idea out there with resources available if this does not work. So it's critically important that we get it right. And the purpose of this hearing is to discuss whether or not this is the right approach and how we can prove it if we need to.